Well, I got two messages to preach tonight. I'm not sure which one I want to preach. I'm not sure what order, because they both kind of, they're both really good. I know. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm going to officially wrap up our series on Wednesday night about the Holy Spirit and giftings and things like that. But I mean, it kind of always goes along. Sorry. I have to focus. I was not prepared for... Sorry. You got to warn me by text message before you just do that or something. I don't know. where was I at? 1 Thessalonians 5:20. I'm going to wrap up the things on the Holy Spirit, but something about it was just so stirring in me. And I can't get away from it. So some of the message tonight is going to center around that theme. And in 1 Thessalonians 5, and we're going to read 19 and 20, and I want to talk about our attitude towards the gifts and towards the Spirit. So tonight's message, it's going to kind of center around that concept of what is our attitude. And attitudes are finicky things, aren't they? They're affected very easily. You know, if the pastor just doesn't look right a certain service, you can easily be convinced that, well, it just ain't going to move this service. Spirit ain't speaking. Pastor Ben's too busy eating cookies and distracted with overalls. Yep, Spirit ain't speaking. You know, the Spirit of God is bigger than my distractions. He's bigger than overalls and cookies. He really is. You know what? God can do whatever God wants to do if we believe and let Him do it. Our attitudes, though, they can cheat us individually out of blessings. You could be sitting in a congregation, be it 10 people, be it 5,000 people in the most powerful conference you've ever been at, but if your attitude isn't right about what God is saying and doing, you'll be the one person in the entire crowd that misses out on the blessing. Everybody around you will be blessed, but you'll be soured. You'll walk away going, I just didn't feel it. I, you know, I've been in other services and they were great, and I just don't know what it was about this one. I'll tell you what it was. It was your stinky attitude. It's my stinky attitude. You get in certain services and things influence us. Maybe we're a little constipated and we're taking it out on the Spirit. We're old enough to say your body it's a dead flesh box. It does not obey the things of the Spirit. It's dying. So don't listen to it. Don't listen to it. You put it aside and say, tell it sometimes, shut up. And turn your soul towards the Lord and let your attitude be directed towards God. And you will not miss out on the blessing that God intends for you whenever you come and fellowship with Him. I believe every time we come into the presence of God, you can walk away with a nugget of something from the Holy Spirit. And if you don't, it's not because God isn't speaking. It's because we're not listening. It's because we're not focused. Our attitude is sour. It's amazing, but we do it in our living relationships too. We project our attitudes on other people, and then that means that we think they feel the way we feel. And that's not true. God never is offended at you and is holding back His blessings. He is ready to bless you even though you're sometimes a jerk. He wants to overwhelm you, even though sometimes you're slow to have compassion and be patient with others. He still puts up with you. He still puts up with me. And I love that. So whenever we come into the presence of God, I just want us to have the right attitude. The attitude of expectation, not putting out the Spirit of God, not holding it back or allowing things to rob us of what God wants to do. And I just, and that's the very scheming and battle plan of the enemy, isn't it? Satan, he is so stupid, he can't come up with a new scheme. His only scheme is to steal, kill, and destroy. And so he'll do it even in spirit-filled gatherings and in spirit-filled services. He'll affect the attitudes of individuals, and everyone can be touched by the power of God except for us because of our attitudes. So maybe we'll talk about that tonight, and we'll just have some good fun. So 1 Thessalonians 5, 19 and 20. Trish, you got that? I'm just going to have Rebecca read it. I just wanted to know if you had it. But no, I just, so no, go ahead, read it. I'm sorry. I know I locked her, and I tried to lock her in a room earlier too, and it just, so I really got it out for you. I'm sorry. So go ahead and read it, Rebecca. So no, go ahead. No, go ahead and read it.
Don't stifle the spirit. Don't despise prophecy.
No, maybe just read that again until I get done chewing this cookie.
Don't stifle the spirit. Don't despise prophecy.
Who else has a different translation?
Do not quench the spirit.
Do not quench and do not treat it with contempt. Man. When you think of the word stifle and the word quench, what kind of actions come to mind? What'd you say? Hold back? Shut it down? What other actions come to mind when you hear the words, the descriptions of stifle or quench? I think of like a hose, a water hose, and just putting out a fire. I think of, you know, when something's just kind of a little bit of burning and just enough where you're not intimidated, but you can do this, you know, kind of spread it around and kick it apart and it kind of dies out. And what about contempt and despising? What does it mean to have contempt for something, to despise something? Loathe? What? Distaste, scorn. Who had a really ugly first car? Anybody? What was your first car? Hey, you can just stop right there. I'm glad. I'm happy. That's a good one. That's a really good one. Anybody have a beat-up old Maverick? Those are good ones to see, you know, rust out and have fun with, run forever and look ugly. I just love those ones. I had an old Buick Regal. And what does it look like to have contempt or despise? It's that feeling you get when you're walking out of the movies with your girlfriend and you pass a Porsche, you pass a nice BMW something, and you get to your 79 Buick Regal with 7 different colors of interior and a chicken-wired grill. Yeah, where you're just going to wrap it up on there. And you look at that, and you have a feeling of contempt. Where you just wish you could just reverse the clock and do something to miraculously let you be leading her to the Porsche or the BMW, you know? See, I think of that when it comes to things of the Spirit. A lot of people today, they like many, many things that the Lord does in the congregation. But if you get close to the things of the manifestations of God's Spirit, they treat it with contempt. They just, it's okay that it's there in the parking lot of God. We're just not going to look at it much. Let's just not talk about it because it's just a little too controversial. I'd much rather go over here where the good cars are parked. Or let's go do this or that. And that's contempt. That's disrespect. That's downplaying it. It'd be just like if you were the one kid in the family that the parents never doted on. Everybody else got all of the accolades. Everybody else got all the benefit of the doubt. So whenever there was an opportunity to somebody like play a sport or something, oh, you got to take so-and-so because, man, they're really good at everything that they do. But you never become the person that they refer. Oh, yeah, pick Ben because Ben will do this or that. You know, they just assume we're not going to waste our time. We want to give the kids that have the most chance of success the opportunities. How bad would you feel if you were the one that was always passed over, the one that was despised? I believe that the Trinity, when you look at the Godhead, we're cool with God the Father. We're cool with Jesus the Son. But when you start talking about God the Holy Spirit, that's when people start doing weird stuff and they just start getting controversial. They whip out the John MacArthur study Bible. They reference 10 other churches that are dead with forms of whatever, but have no real power, and they just start getting uncomfortable. They pass it over. They despise it. So much so that we call it an it. And the Holy Spirit, even though the Bible talks of the Holy Spirit in personal pronouns, he, and gives it all of the attributes of personhood with emotions, thought, activity, everything that is attributed to you. That is the same way the Bible treats God the Holy Spirit. And yet, for some reason, we treat the Holy Spirit with contempt and disrespect. We despise it. It's not a big deal. We put it often on the same plane as kooky things in our world. Tarot card reading, astrology, weird stuff, spooky, emotionally flaky people, and all that stuff. We just put it all in the same box and dismiss it as not substantial. Have you ever come across anybody in church that treats the Holy Spirit like that? I have. Many, many times. How does that affect our attitude? How does that affect our attitude when the Holy Spirit wants to move in our midst or in our own life? How often do we resort like what the apostles would have said when your faith is feeling weak and you don't know what to do and maybe you're feeling a little overwhelmed? Do you realize that Jude 20 says pray in the Spirit and increase your faith? Did you realize that Paul said I pray in the Spirit more than any of y'all? Do you realize that every single apostle and founder of the Christian church in the New Testament was a tongue-talking, Spirit-filled maniac? They were holy rollers? Not one of them didn't. Not one of them. And I look at that and I think, how dare us in our enlightened church age tolerate a Christianity that says you can have everything, but just don't dabble with the fire. It's burned too many people. It's confused too many people. You start bringing that stuff in the church, it may catch everything on fire and mess all this stuff up. God is a God of neatness and order. Yeah, God is a consuming fire. Not a pilot light. And I think that's what we have done often in church circles. We reduce God so that he can fit in our control zone, our box. That is a bad attitude when it comes to the Holy Spirit. And it doesn't matter if we feel uncomfortable. You know, I don't like feeling uncomfortable. I have a bad attitude about feeling uncomfortable. Anybody else feel that way ever? I hate it. The weird awkwardnesses between certain things that happen in my life, I never like that. That awkward spot right before you're pricked with a needle, I don't know. That's probably going to be a room in hell. You never get really pricked, but you just know it's coming. And I don't like the awkwardness of things like that. And I don't like the awkwardnesses right before you have to have a difficult conversation. Have you ever felt that? You know you have to start it, but and then you just small talk. So how was your day? Yeah, it was good. Mine too. Anything good happen today? Just anything. Can we talk about anything before we get to the beginning? I don't like that awkward stuff either. And I definitely don't like church services where you get to the spot where you say, okay, we've done what we've planned. Now what do you want? I'm awkward. We're just going to move on to the next thing. If you really wanted it to happen, you're going to interrupt anyway, right? And just do it. That's awkward for me. I don't like that. That's a bad attitude in church. So here's what we've got to see. When it comes to things of the Holy Spirit, we cannot quench it. We cannot put it out, stomp it out, and we cannot despise it and disrespect it. We can't. And the reason I feel so passionate about this right now is because we live in a day and age where it's the fulfillment of what 2 Timothy 3 says.
We are surrounded by a Christianity in America that has form and liturgy, but it denies power. Just like in the time of Christ, while he was there in the Jewish culture, where there were men and women, families, generation upon generation, trained in Judaism, learned the rules and all of the procedures for worship and praise and all of that. And it was based on truth. But they denied power. And so Christ looked at it and he said, I couldn't do anything in that wineskin. Why? It was just a form but denied power. They had the scripture, didn't they? Didn't they? Did they have the scripture? They did. They probably knew the scripture better than any one of us in this room, because from the time they were born and old enough to read, once the time they were weaned until they were of a young adult age, about 13 to 14 in their culture, they studied day in, day out, all the time at the synagogue. And I look at that, and those kids, if you were a part of a good, devout Jewish family, you were trained in scripture. Why? They were told to do that. Write that scripture on their foreheads, on their hands. Keep it, be something that they remember. So don't ever use the comfort of, well, we at least promote the Bible in our church. Have you ever heard that? Well, you know, there's different churches out there, but you know ours focuses on the scripture. And you know other churches can focus on those things, but you got to focus on the scripture. Sounds holy, doesn't it? Sounds really good. It sounds so comforting, like a big warm diaper. It just does. Why? Because it's dead and lifeless without the power of the Holy Spirit. And when I go into places where they put the scripture almost as an idol up on this pedestal and say, that's what's important. The very God who sent that scripture was the Holy Spirit. They wrote it inspired by the Holy Spirit. The very God that wrote it is the one they won't let in church. Oh, that just burns my bacon. It burns my bacon. So we live in a culture, and this is our area. And I love our area. I really do. But as much as I love it, I can't stand it. I want some living. I want some hunger, some desire. I want people that are not satisfied with just 3 points in a message and that's it. I want them to hunger and thirst for the fire of God in their life. Why? Because every single apostle and early church leader had it. Why can't we live and move in that? Why would we settle for less? Why would we settle for less when they didn't? Oh, church, I feel like we're living way beneath what we could be living. And we should be, if this is something that bears witness with your soul, then you should be a promoter of it. Every time you hear somebody say something that says, well, this is what I believe, and it's really a backhanded compliment to the Holy Spirit, you need to clarify it and say, stop smacking God in the face by saying you like his brother, but you don't like his mom. It's all the family. They're all one. You can't say you like one and hate the other. You just can't do that. So just help them. Say, well, hey, if you like God the Father and you like Jesus his son, wait till you get to know the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, if they're scared of that, I say, well, that's okay. They call him the Holy Ghost too. Might scare you awake because I feel like you're dead in your gospel. And it's so important because they couldn't be witnesses until the power of the Holy Spirit fell. It didn't grow. I look at all that and I think, boy, do we need the Holy Spirit. Now, why is it important for me to say in 2 Timothy 3:5 that there are people who have a form of godliness but deny the power? When we say power, what comes to your mind? What comes to your mind? You got some good stuff in there. I feel spoiled because when I talk to you guys on Wednesday night, really, and this is not me fluffing up anything, I just feel like many of you could be up here teaching. You've got good stuff. You have a lot of good things in your heart and your mind that you've chewed on over the years. So I just am stirring you up. That's all my job is tonight. Just challenging you, prodding you. Hopefully you get so riled up that you just can't be quiet when you leave, you know, and you got to talk to people about the power of God. What do you think of when I say the power? The what? Authority? What do you think scripture's meaning when it says the power of God, denying the power of God? Dunamis, dynamite power. What else? Anything else?
gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's good stuff. So Paul, he writes in Ephesians about a revelation of the power of God, and he ties it directly to the power that was illustrated in the resurrection. So how was Christ raised from the dead? By the power of what? The Holy Spirit, right? How was creation made? By the power of the Holy Spirit, there in Genesis, that hovered over the darkness and the void and all that kind of stuff. How was Mary born? By the power of the Holy Spirit. How was Jesus created? By the power. I said, how was Mary born? How was Jesus born? Mary, you got it. You got it. By the power of the Holy Spirit. How was the church born? By the power of the Holy Spirit. How are we born into the family of God? We're born of the Word and the Spirit, born of the Word and the Spirit. You can't neglect the Spirit. And then as we live this Christian life, yes, we talk a lot about grace, but that's not the main emphasis. The main emphasis is the Spirit. The Spirit. We walk in step with the Spirit. The fruit is that we understand grace. Grace is that power sufficient for the gap. I look at that unmerited favor, all of that. It's just good stuff. So boy, we cannot neglect the power. And so when it says this, what are we supposed to do with people who do neglect the power? What do we do? Tolerate them. Tolerate them with all the love and compassion that Jesus gives. Why? Because they don't know no better. In the best sense, a lot of people are ignorant. 1 Corinthians 12:1 talks about ignorance of the Holy Spirit. You know, there's a lot of people that are ignorant of the Holy Spirit. No one's ever taught them. So if what's their attitude going to be? They don't know. They're afraid. So what do we need to do? We need to teach people about the Holy Spirit. There's nothing to be afraid of the Holy Spirit. Fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace. What are you afraid of that for? It's not nothing to be afraid of. Getting the Holy Spirit, what's he going to do? Scare you, possess you, make your arms flap around and do things that I don't. No, he's not poltergeist. He's the Holy Spirit. So they're just ignorant, and so they don't know. So what do? We teach and we instruct according to scriptural principles, and it changes attitudes. Suddenly they feel like, well, it's biblical. Yeah, it's biblical. But what else? In 1 Timothy 4:14, it talks about not to neglect it, to put it aside or leave it undone. So when you've got people who maybe they kind of agree with the Holy Spirit, they're good Christian brothers or sisters, or at least they profess a faith, but if they're denying the power of the Holy Spirit in their life, you have to be able to come along and say, hey, how come you're not paying attention to this section of Scripture over here? Do you even read Acts? Do you even read the epistles? Do you even like Paul? Do you think Paul's a good writer? Ask him questions about that. Do you skip large chunks of Scripture just because you want to? And you just help them. Don't neglect this. How about when we get together next time and pray? You know, I know some of you, like George and I, have talked often about his prayer partner. Do you know how sad would it be if you got together with people to pray, but you never prayed in the Spirit together? Why are you neglecting that? Pray. Pray in the Spirit. Sing in the Spirit. And if people are just constantly overlooking that, pull that loving brother or sister to the side and say, hey, come on. You got a problem with God? You got a problem with the Holy Spirit? And if they start hem-hawing around and doing this and stuff, then say, it's okay. Everyone has to be at least at one point in their life right where you're at. You just don't need to stay there. So now what are you going to do about this? Do you want more of God? Well, yes, you do. That's the proper answer. Yes, you do. You're either going forward or you're going backwards. You don't stay stagnant. You're living or you're dying. You're not a zombie, you know, in a coma. Maybe that's what that would be. If you're not living and growing, and if you're not dying, what are you? You're in a coma. You're on life support. That's all you are. You live by visible church cookies and coffee, and that's it. You got to have more than that. You got to have the Holy Spirit. And so we can't neglect it, and we've got to help each other. And that leads us to 1 Corinthians 12:31. We talked about this the last time when we were talking about the manifestation gifts. We have to desire them. You have to desire them. Desire those greater gifts. Stir that desire up in you. Which brings us to 2 Timothy 1:6, which was that command about the gifts of the Spirit in our lives. We have to stir it up, shake it up. You have to unsettle things. God has never, ever, ever intended for your Christian life to be monotonous. Think about one of the songs that we sing. This is my story. This is my song. Can you imagine if your story and your song sounded like this? That was your story and your song? That's called, I would unplug it. I was like, that's my alarm, and that's only on for a couple seconds. No, that's not even our alarm. We got music for our alarm because I can't even take it being woke up with. But that's what some people say, well, that's the kind of Christian life I'm okay with. They are not okay with it. They're not. They're trying to deceive themselves into feeling like it's okay. Awesome. All right, I have 2 minutes. You guys are getting the special service tonight, and we're all done. Man, I feel like this was halftime, and I'm talking to the team, and I'm like, let's go out and beat those Patriots. Oh, wait a minute. We're already winning. No, I don't know if they were. Were they winning at halftime? I think they might have been behind a little bit in halftime. I don't remember. I'm just glad that they got beat. So, you know, tonight is really, it's really just us talking about things that pertain to the Holy Spirit because unashamedly, we are a Pentecostal church. And my heart is grieved because I've told a couple people, and one of our overseers, Paul Tucker, he preached a message to all of us pastors because he had heard in traveling so many charismatic churches diminishing, playing it down, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, the functions of the Holy Spirit. They don't teach on it. They don't exercise it. They don't encourage it. They don't stir it up. They neglect. They do all of those things we've been talking about that the Bible tells us not to do. And he says, these are assemblies of God. These are independent charismatics. These are other denominations. And we live in a culture that loves certain things and despises everything to do with the Holy Spirit. And my heart breaks because I know there are many people that they secretly are so uncomfortable with the Holy Spirit. As long as it just doesn't get close enough to burn them, they can tolerate being in a church like Visible Church. I want to encourage you. Do this. I don't need everybody to agree with me. You don't have to agree with me. I don't even agree with me sometimes. Okay, so you don't have to agree with me. I'm not God. I'm not going to judge a single one of you on the day that you meet your Savior face to face. I'm not going to be sitting on that throne. God is going to be sitting on that throne. But you know what? I will see my Savior face to face, and he will look at me, and he will judge me with what I've done with the gift of the Holy Spirit. And if I've spat in the face of the Holy Spirit and grieved the Holy Spirit, whom I'm sealed for that day of redemption, if you spit on the Holy Spirit and disregard or neglect the Holy Spirit in your life, or if you tolerate it in others who have once loved the Holy Spirit and then walked away from it, then shame on you and shame on me, and we need to raise that standard high. It is time for the church and for godly people like you and me to fight that good fight. It's not mean. It's loving. To turn to your brother and sister in arms and say, don't you neglect the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Because it's usually that same brother and sister that's saying in times of overwhelmness, I don't know what to do about this or that. Well, you do have help, don't you? You can turn to them and say, stop whining and start praising. Start praying in the power of the Holy Spirit. Start coming to service and letting the Holy Spirit move in your life. Stop despising prophecy. And why don't you listen to it? Why don't you open up your heart to the prophetic? I'm telling you, there are so many things that we need to fight for. And if people say, well, I just don't understand it, say that's okay. You don't understand a lot of things in life that you use, and you're okay with it. Don't get scared. We don't understand everything about God, but you better desire it and you better run for it. I'll tell you, the challenge is to balance your friendships with those that spit in the very face of God. Because I've had close friends who no longer emphasize the Holy Spirit in your life. Do I love them? Yes. Do I call them up and spend time with them every day? No. Why? I don't want to get cold. I don't need another detractor from the Holy Spirit. I need more hot coals around me. So who do I spend my time with? I'll love those that are cold, but I just want to catch them on fire. So whenever I'm around, that's the only purpose I'm really there. I want to tempt them. I want to like throw a little Jesus on them and see if they catch it. But I am not going to spend my time there and soak up whatever they've got. It's not doing them any good. So I'm going to spend more of my time around people that challenge and sharpen and light me on fire. And I'll do that, even if it scares me. And believe me, God scares me a lot. And so and I just go, oh, man, you are so scary sometimes, and I'm just so glad you love me. But you know, that's where I'm growing then. So help me in this. This message is more of me just saying, never be ashamed of the Holy Ghost. Never be ashamed of the Holy Ghost. It's who you are. It's your DNA. Stand proud and fight that good fight, because who else in Green Bay really is? Not many. Not many. A lot of them are just scared to death. And if you mention it, they usually end the conversation and run the other way. Just chase them. Chase them down and say, come to my church. You'll get it whether you want it or not, you know? And it's just good. So anyway, I'm done. I asked John, I said, keep me on track, 7:30. We're going to end early because we got a lot of piggy stuff to do tonight. And last week we spent a lot of time. Praise God. All right, well, that's basically it. You feel stirred up or challenged in just that little chunk of me preaching? Man, I do. Whenever I get caught up like this, I usually call all the pastors that I know because I have to preach it. It gets in me. Calling all the pastors I know, and as long as they'll tolerate me on the phone, I'm preaching. And then they usually have to say, man, this is good. Hey, Ben. Oh, Ben, I gotta go. Wait, one more point. I'm on point three, closing three. And then, so, oh my goodness. And so, thanks for listening. I want to pray. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Dear Lord, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we just say thank you for purchasing each and every one of us by your blood, and for opening up that door, for removing every obstacle and barrier for the Holy Spirit to flood our hearts and lives. Lord, I celebrate the fact that Joel's prophecy came to pass. Joel 2 came to pass. You poured your Spirit out on all flesh, and you continually pour. You continually pour. Lord, would you refill and refresh every vessel here in this house? Would you rekindle in us the joy of our salvation and the passion for what your Holy Spirit is doing? Oh, Holy Spirit, would you stir up in us like a mighty wind and just refresh the dreams and visions and the things that you have spoken? Let us not forget them. And Lord, would you stir us up that we might be powerful witnesses, not weak witnesses, powerful witnesses, that you might affirm the gospel message with whatever means necessary in our life. Praise you, Jesus, for your glory, for your name's sake. Lord, come like a mighty flood and just do what you want to do in our lives. For your glory, we lift you up, Lord. Your name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Hot dog. Well, 7:35, and we have some top secret stuff that's got to happen on here. Be blessed. Have some coffee and enjoy that out there. We're going to do some transformation.